this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
Welcome to the Wrestling Town Hall program. I'm your host, Primo Mondone. My co-host, Ken Brown, will join me here in just a couple minutes. Please visit the show's website at redstatetownhall.com. While you're there, be sure to like us on both Facebook and Twitter. If you wish to contact us, the email address is Primo, P-R-E-M-O, at redstatetownhall.com. Our show is broadcast here on Red State Talk Radio, America's premier grassroots conservative internet talk radio network. The show is also syndicated through iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Podomatic, TalkStream Live, Player.fm, and Roku, at least a dozen other websites. You can listen to the station using their Android, iPhone, and BlackBerry apps. Visit the station's website, redstatetalkradio.com, to download the appropriate app for your smartphone. If you don't have a smartphone, you can listen using any phone on the station's 24/7 listener line provided by TalkStream Live by dialing the following numbers. For Studio A, 605-562-4209. And for Studio B, 518-712-0045. Before we start the show, let's give a shout out to our AM, FM, and digital affiliates. Excuse me. WDDQ, FM 92.1, Adel, Georgia. Adel. God, I missed.
Here we go again.
Here we go. WJNW, AM 1650, Hermitage, Tennessee. Talk Radio, AM 1620, KTFL, Gilbert, Arizona. WMQL, Radio FM 105.5, Brevard, North Carolina. Kaufman County Talk Radio, AM 1680, KCTR, Carroll, Texas. Tax Pro Radio, Gainesville, Georgia. Now let's bring on my co-host from Atlanta, Georgia, Mr. Ken Brown. Mr. Brown, how are you today, sir?
Well, it's been a tough week, but as far as today goes, it was the humidity is non-existent for now, and the heat wave is broken, and it's a real pretty day. It was pretty morning. But the week, I'm guessing we're going to talk about that.
Yeah, I posted this, and we mentioned this right before we went on the air. This is one of the most depressing weeks in American history, I think. The only thing that compares to it, and really I'm more depressed about this than I was when Romney got beat. I mean, I remember when Romney was defeated, and I thought he was our – you know, and I just could not believe he got, you know, that he did get beat, because I thought he was going to win. And I was so disappointed and so depressed in a way, but not as bad as this. It just seems like I said to someone else, and I think I told you, I think I posted this online, that the left is kicking our ass. There is just no two ways to you can't slice it. You can't dice it. You can't put a smiley face on it. You know, a pig is a pig is a pig, and they are killing us.
Depressing.
Yes. Yeah. I'm just, well, let's kind of get started, I guess, here. And we're going to talk about, trust me, we're going to talk about the Supreme Court. We're going to talk, you know, all the issues of the Supreme Court. And we have other stuff we're going to talk about a little bit later on in the show. But right off the bat, I wanted to bring up, actually Kim wanted to bring this up. I didn't have it in the show notes, but, and there's a reason, and I'll explain why. He wanted to bring up the eulogy service in Charleston, South Carolina, that President Obama did for the people slain in that church down there last week, whatever. I did not watch it. I purposely did not watch it because I knew exactly what was going to happen. I knew that he could not pass up an opportunity to play race politics, politics in general, bring up all kinds of crap that had nothing to do with what happened in Charleston, South Carolina. I knew that was going to be the case, and I am so sick and tired of being preached to by this jerk about race relations in this country and about gun control and about voters' rights and all this other stuff. I'm done. I do not want to hear another word this guy's got to say. But Ken, you watched it. You're a much better man than I, apparently, and you went ahead and watched it.
Well, I was at the gym, and it was like on four screens, and I was watching.
Oh, okay.
I had to watch it. I watched it for everything you said. I believe too. I think that this. I said, surely, you know, I'm thinking of all things. You won't use a man. The guy's casket is in front of him. You know, the Reverend Pickney's right.
Right.
It's in front of him. It's a eulogy, and it starts off. I would say for the first third of the, it was a good eulogy. I mean, it was about Pinckney, about his life, and it turned from, it went from God's grace, literally. He talked about God's grace, from race relations and things, and he went into voter laws. It went from Confederate flag. He talked about gun laws, and he even threw in, which I don't even know where this came from, about how some people getting about when you go for a job that, and here's this quote. He said that you hire Johnny and not Jamal, and I was like, what? I mean, here's the guy's casket in front of him. About a eulogy, and he's turned it into a political platform. And I got so incensed. I was talking. I mean, I had my little headphones on. I was on the treadmill, you know,
talking to yourself.
I'm talking to myself, and I'm sure people were looking at me going, what is he talking about? But I was telling you before the show, I said, I was around when I started looking for jobs, when I got out of school, and you and I got out of Wesleyan. I started looking for jobs. I went through – affirmative action was in its heyday. Affirmative action was locked in, you know. And I finally get and I could not find a job. I could not find I just felt – I thought I was snake bit. And I finally got into a Fortune 500 company, a headquarters in Atlanta. You figure out the – you know, which one's headquarters in Atlanta. It's a huge beast. And I finally get a job, a friend of a friend, you know, of a friend. I got to sit here and talk to a man that was, that could hire someone, could hire me. And he told me, this has been, 30, 40 years. How long have we been out of school? 30 years?
35 anyway.
It's been 30 years ago or so. So I don't think I'm, you know, stepping on his toes. I'm sure he's retired by now, but he told me, he said, can I be honest with you? And I said, yeah. And, you know, I'm sitting there in my suit, you know, and he gets up and closes the door. And he says, if you were of a different color, preferably female and of a different color, he said, I'd hire you in a minute. But I can't. He says, we're a Fortune 500 company. We have to hire so many minorities. He said, you're well qualified. I'd love to have you, but I can't hire you. And he went on to tell me about a lady that worked outside his office that has been moved around the company, and she was inept in her job and every job she's had with the company, and that they cannot fire her because they don't want to look bad. You know, they can't have the, you know, they can't fire someone of color or of a certain gender or whatever, because that would make the company look bad. So they keep her. They just move her around.
Yeah, they don't want to have Jesse Jackson come down there trying to claim that they're gonna boycott the product and blah 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 blah. You know, that kind
absolutely.
Of stuff.
And so this affirmative action thing, you know, it's you know, I went through this for several years. I was better qualified than most of the people I was in competition with. But I was, you know, the jobs were going to people that were below that I was better qualified for. I was like, this is the fairness of is this America? I mean, I was, but affirmative action, you know, this law that's trying to make people equal or something was doing the exact opposite.
Well, you know, I don't know if you saw this or not, but recently, probably about a month or so ago, there was a thing on Facebook and it showed a guy. Who was either Indian or Pakistani? I forget which country he came from, and he was trying to apply to get into medical school in the United States, or maybe he already had graduated, gotten his doctorate. But he was whatever he was trying to become a doctor in the United States. All right. Mm-hmm. Bottom line is he applies to a famous university. I don't remember the name of the university, but a big university, and he's denied. He had great point average. He had all kinds of accomplishments, but he was denied. He reapplied. Now, this is true now. He reapplied, and he checked the box that he was black. Accepted.
Is that right?
Exact same credentials. That's all he did. And when stuff like that happens, there's something wrong. I mean, I don't know about you, but when it comes to a physician, for example, or really if it comes to a lawyer or whatever you want to talk about, I want the best qualified to either treat me and or to get into medical school or to get into law school. I don't want to be the guy that they're having to fill a quota. I don't want that guy in there. That's just nonsense. And the whole idea that you make up for the past sins of this country by trying to give
reparations.
Yeah, that's just nonsense. It's just absolute nonsense. And in this country, though, apparently it's, you know, that's the norm, I guess. I don't know. It's just,
well, anyway. Getting back to this eulogy thing, I mean, the last comment I want to make, I know that, you know, this is not something you want to talk about, and I really don't want to talk about it either, but it just infuriated me that the man's body is laying there in front of him during a political speech, and he was tying this his whole speech. He'd come back into like God's grace, and I'm thinking God's grace has nothing to do with your politics, and it just flew all over me. And if that was my dad in front, I don't care if he's speaking conservative issues. I don't care if he'd been talking that way, and it had been my dad in the casket, I got up and pushed the casket away and said, this is no longer about my dad. And I wouldn't have stood there and let that go on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one thing I heard, again, I did not watch the deal at all, but the only thing, two things I heard was that number one, he broke down into, started doing like he was a black preacher. He was doing that kind of lingo and that kind of, tempo and so forth, which I think is a little odd. And number two, apparently there was a singing of Amazing Grace, and apparently Barack Obama doesn't know the words to Amazing Grace is a comment someone else made. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know if he's clubbed the words up or something or whatever, but
no, I think you got the words right. I watched that too.
Okay. Well, maybe
that doesn't bother me. It doesn't really bother me. In fact, it didn't bother me at all that he's singing and Amazing Grace a lot in that. I'm a Christian. I think
Amazing Grace is a fantastic song.
The history behind that song, for those that don't know, is that it was actually written by a slave trader back when they were bringing slaves from Africa, that he had a change of heart, and he wrote that. The slave trader wrote it. It wasn't written by a black person. It was written by a slave trader.
Yeah, I never knew that until you told me that earlier. All right, let's get going some other stuff here. That was depressing enough. Let's get more depressing. Before we start, what were your predictions, Ken, earlier this week before the Obamacare decision came down and before the gay marriage issue came down? What did you think was going to happen on either one of those?
I thought the gay marriage thing probably would have happened just like it happened. But I thought the Obamacare thing would – I thought the Obamacare thing would go in favor of getting – of Obamacare taking a dive. I should know better now with the Supreme Court that this doesn't – those things don't – common sense doesn't rule.
Well, I felt the same way. When it came to gay marriage, I thought, well, that's a done deal. That's going to happen, and there's just no way. There's just no way it's not going to happen. And so I kind of prepared myself for that in a way. But the Obamacare thing, there literally were four words in the Obamacare law that were the whole crux of the entire lawsuit. And I thought, foolishly like you, I thought that common sense would take over and that everybody could understand those four words and that they would rule that the subsidies would not be available to those who did not set up their own state exchanges, and that would basically be the death blow for Obamacare. And, of course, I was wrong. You were wrong. Again, Justice Roberts, twice in his tenure, has done legal gymnastics to keep Obamacare alive. They're making up stuff. It's not even there. My whole thing about the law, I'm no attorney, but I've always heard, Ken, and maybe I'm mistaken, but tell me if you haven't heard this, that you have the letter of the law. You literally have whatever the law says. That's the way the law reads. It's not, in a certain extent, it's not open to interpretation when it's plain, simple language. And that flew out the window this week.
Like I said, I think it was common sense. I think that they ruled over common sense. And I shake my head, Primo. My first thoughts, and I know I'm not alone on this. My first thoughts are we're imploding as a nation. That the destruction is coming from within. That it's a sign of the times. I want to think I'm wrong. I really do. And I want to think like other people that this is I've heard this decision was a good thing for the Republican Party, that because they weren't ready for what could have happened if it was ruled the other way, and that this will help in the 2016. And I just don't know.
You know, I've said for last several shows, I keep talking about if this country follows and goes left in the 2016 elections, that we have gone over the edge, we're heading down the cliff, and we are done as a nation. And now I'm starting to wonder if we aren't already done. I'm starting to wonder if 2016 even matters anymore.
Well, you just have to think. You can't give up hope because we are the hope of this world. There's no other country that is like us. There's no other country that has the potential that we have. And there is no other country that's a shining light.
But our potential is dwindling with all this kind of stuff going on. I mean, when our court system, when our Supreme Court, basically, there's several different kinds of tyranny. Obama is tyrannical, in my opinion. But at the same time, our Supreme Court now is, as I think, crossed the boundary of being tyrannical. I saw a thing on Facebook about quotes from the Founding Fathers about what could happen if the Supreme Court, if the judicial branch got out of hand. And It's amazing how our founding fathers were so wise and understood what could and could not happen if we did not persevere and keep control of everything and pay attention to what's going on in this world. And if you go, actually, it's probably on my timeline. If you go look at that and look at what Thomas Jefferson and John Adams and Alexander Hamilton and all these people had to say, you're thinking, man, they saw this. They saw this over 200 plus years ago.
Yeah. The of what could happen.
What could happen if you
and
don't?
How the if you don't abuse of power can? Yeah. Now they gave us an out. In their wisdom, they gave us an out. They gave us a commission of states that, short of a revolution, I don't know what else we can do. I agree with you. I think this next election, though, is going to be a very telling part for our country, because what they've got to offer, if Hillary's the best they got to offer, and if she's voted in with the lies and the
corruption,
criminal conduct that she has performed, I'm thinking, you're right. There's no way. We have gone over the edge, way over the edge.
Yeah. If we lurch left, further left, because she's already admitted she would go further than Obama's gone, like, for example, on immigration and so forth. So, okay. I mean, if that's the route this country chooses, it's done.
We're going to be France.
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure where the hell I would go, even if I could afford to go. But I don't know. I just think I used to think we're on a slow decline because of our moral and cultural decay. But yeah. I don't think it's a slow decline anymore. I think it's speeding up rapidly.
It sure has this week.
Yeah. Well, we only got about 3 minutes before we got to go to break. But let's talk about the gay marriage thing. Again, we both thought this was going to happen. But here's my contention with the whole thing. I don't think the Supreme Court should have ever decided this thing at all. I don't think it should ever have been taken up by the Supreme Court. It should have been this. I think this should be totally up to individual states, number one. But number two, think about this. Our legal system has never really – our legal system did not invent marriage. That was invented by God, really, if you think about that. And so what the hell is our legal system doing getting into the realm of what God has put upon us? Now, I know that may sound kind of, you know, and I'm no big Bible thumper, you know that. But at the same time, I do have faith. I am a Christian. And I just feel like the whole idea of a marriage is between one man and one woman. I don't think, people can do what they want to do, and I don't really care who loves who, whoever, and whatever. But when it comes to marriage, that's a different thing. It should be a religious thing. It's not really a thing for the state to even fool with. Matter of fact, the whole idea of getting a license to be married, I think is nonsense.
The homosexual thing, I, the social issue of that, I don't want to get too bogged down into that. I just don't think five judges can make law. That's what happened. We have five judges that became legislators.
And here's the thing. They overrode the legislatures in all 50 states. Now, there are some states that recognize gay marriage, and that's okay. Maybe that's fine. But the states who don't recognize gay marriage, they overrode the state legislatures. They overrode democracy. They overrode our entire system and said, no, you're wrong. It doesn't matter what the people want. So we will decide. And I think that's a bad thing, no matter what we're talking about.
I don't like the idea, because I think this is – if you listen to – remember the guy that played Sulu on Star Trek?
Yeah, George Takei, I think.
Takei,
whatever.
He said, and this is the things that really scare me about all of this, is that you get an inch, you take a mile. kind of thing. Yep. You know, it's he said, we're not going to stop there. We're not going to stop there. You know, and I'm like, what do you mean you're going to stop there? So who gets the brunt end of these things? The homosexual population is what, a little over 1% of the whole country, but they have the biggest voice or something. They overrule the majority.
Majority. I said this to several people. The media savvy of the people in the homosexual community, I wish we had them working for conservative causes, because if we did, we'd be winning some of these things. Because they're only 2-3% of the population, but they're getting their damn way on almost everything. And I mean, hats off to them. I mean, they apparently know what the hell they're doing as far as their media savvy goes. And, you know, real quick, and then we got to go to break. We're running a little bit late. Real quick. So what's going to happen the very first time that a homosexual couple goes to the Catholic Church or to the Mormon Church or, God forbid, a mosque and ask them to perform their gay marriage? How's that?
I want to see that. Let's get that
on
video.
I'd like to see that one first. Wouldn't you like to see that one? I'd like that to be the test case, wouldn't you?
Let's get that on the video. Because, you know,
they might get beheaded when they go in there.
If you're a Muslim, if you're a Muslim and you believe in Sharia law and those things, this is like.
Well, I don't think you'd have to be a Muslim. I mean, really, I mean, theory. What I'm afraid of is that, let's just say, Steve and Adam, they decide they want to get married, and they just here's a lovely mosque. Let's go in here and let's see if they'll go ahead and marry us. How do you think it's going to turn out? And should a Muslim mosque should Islam be forced to marry those two guys?
Well, that's the question. That's the question I was getting to earlier. Is like. You know, they had. Remember that bakery in Colorado?
Yeah,
or something?
It's the same sort of thing. Yeah, it's like.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to force somebody to do. Number one, if I was gay, I wouldn't go someplace that didn't want me.
Exactly.
I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't go into a bakery that I knew didn't want my business. I would go find somebody that wanted my business.
Well, I made the joke when we were talking about this about the bakeries and the flower shops. I'm thinking, you're trying to tell me if you're gay, you can't find a florist that's gay? You trying to tell me that? that's like an old, I guess, whatever. But, I mean, there are plenty of guys who are florists who are gay. There's not a shortage of those guys, I don't think.
No, but so. I just don't – I mean – you're going to push your weight around in a place that and you want something, especially if they're making food for you. I don't want somebody making food for me that doesn't like me.
That's true.
What are they going to put in my food? You know what I'm, what I'm saying?
Good point. Hey, we got to go to break. We're running way over pretty much. So let's go to break. Thank you for listening to the Red State Town Hall. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Jeff Carlisi from the band 38 Special. The mainstream media has failed the American people once again. Internet radio networks like Red State Talk Radio will not fail you. Tune in 24 hours a day, studios A and B. Great conservative programming around the clock. Red State Talk Radio, the dominant force in internet conservative talk radio.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work from home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom36.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 36.com. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom36.com.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-400-1756 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-400-1756 to take your call now. Call 800-400-1756. That's 800-400-1756. Again, 800-400-1756.
If you're diabetic, this message could change your life. Is your blood sugar out of control even when you do all the right stuff? Are you afraid of diabetic blindness and the risk of amputation, as well as all those other side effects? Well, you should be. Is there anything that could help manage your blood sugar? Nobedes is a natural supplement that may quickly and dramatically lower your blood sugar.
My name is Bob Corder. I've been using Nobedes for about 3.5 to 4 months now. And in the first 3 months, I've actually lowered my blood sugars from 500s down to 139, and then it dropped to 88 to 93.
My name is Kirsten. I'm a type 1 diabetic, and while taking Nobedes, my blood sugar levels dropped from 295 to 115 in just one day.
The FDA hasn't evaluated these statements, and Nobedes isn't intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. But for many, it's helped drop their blood sugar. So if you've been evaluated with high blood sugar, don't delay. Evaluate Nobedes now. Call 800-554-7159 and get 2 bottles free. Just cover shipping and handling. Call 800-554-7159. That's 800-554-7159.
Hi, this is Primo Mondone, General Manager for Red State Talk Radio. We've been bringing you the very best in grassroots, common sense conservative talk radio for over 5 years now. One thing I've learned in those 5 years is that internet radio is a tough, competitive business. And if the station is going to advance that next level, it's going to require a significant increase in investments in both personnel and infrastructure. Our listenership grew by 42% in 2014, and with our ever-expanding listener base, it's time that we begin the move to a more listener-supported model provide the station's future financial needs. Therefore, we're asking our loyal listeners to consider making a donation to help us reach our goals. Monthly subscriptions begin at only $2 per month. So please, help us restore conservative principles to our republic. Visit our website and become a Red State Talk Radio supporter today.
Red State Talk Radio. The Talk Monster.
The path to restoring our republic was laid down by our founding fathers. The principles of freedom, liberty, personal responsibility, and limited government are conservative ideals we will never abandon.
America is listening.
Grassroots, common sense, conservative talk radio. It's on the internet. Tune in now. Red State Talk Radio, featuring some of the most popular internet talk show hosts in America today. Are you listening? RedStateTalkRadio.com.
Okay, we're back. I guess we're finished with the Supreme Court stuff. It's again, sad day for America. Well, we got screwed again by the Republicans this week with Obama trade. What I find interesting, remember we talked about this last week. I was disappointed that Ted Cruz was for the Obama trade deal, but he had a change of heart this week, and just before the big vote, he opposed it. And because he found out a few things about the Obama trade that he didn't know at the time he supported it. Maybe he actually read the thing. I don't know. Or maybe Jeff Sessions from Alabama got a hold of him and explained a few things to him. I don't know. But the thing is, at least Ted Cruz did come around. Now, I heard some people who are a little bit cynical about Ted Cruz and said the only reason he came around is that he's dropped in the polls, and he's under 5% in the polls now. So he figured he needed to do something to kind of get his campaign going again. Maybe that's true. I have absolutely no idea. I don't know if that's true or not. But the bottom line is the House did that TAA thing, whatever the hell it was. And, of course, the entire thing is basically passed now, House and Senate. So we're screwed. And we're screwed primarily because of the Republicans, but of course the Democrats had to join in too. So, what do you think, Kim? Is Obamatrade good for America, or are we going to regret this?
I don't have a freaking clue. Do you know anything about it?
All I know is the reports that I've read, because it's supposedly top secret. So, I'm not 100% sure, but here's the thing. All I know is that NAFTA was supposed to be a good thing, and all it did essentially was create jobs in other countries, not so much in the United States. So based on that, I'm probably not a big fan. That's just.
I agree. And usually when something's kept quiet like this, has been kept quiet. And
there's a reason, right?
There's a reason for it. And it, because if they thought it was that good, why would you tell everybody?
Yeah, if it was great, you come out and go, look at this. It does this. It does this. It does this. This is great for America. And hell, the Senate would have voted 100-0, right?
Yeah, the whole thing is so crazy because the Republicans were for it. Democrats were against it. Obama was for it. And I'm like, huh?
Well, like I said last week, anytime you get John Boehner, Mitch McConnell, and Obama agreeing on the same thing, look out.
Yeah. I mean, it's like they're agreeing with the secrets. You know, whatever was secretive, they're agreeing about it. And I don't understand why in a country that's of ours that you put bills up and the bills are supposed to be read and open to people to read them. I don't understand why, if it's not a security thing for this country, and I don't know why trade would be a security, any part of security.
Well, let's just say, for example, there could be a small portion of the trade deal that might be a national security issue. Let's give them that, okay? But would you not think that 95% of it would be something that you should be able to talk about, right?
You think? I mean, okay, I'll give him a little bit in Obama's words, a smidgen. I'll give him a smidgen of security in there. like I stuck that in there. I'll give him that. But this thing has been, and then Ted Cruz, about face, and says, no, I'm against it. Okay, so what's in it? I still don't know.
Well, I'm supposedly some immigration stuff that's not going to be good for the country. And basically, we're ceding some of our sovereignty over to this trade pack, which I'm never for that. I think the United States should do what the hell the United States wants to do and screw everybody else. That's just me. Marco Rubio, here's something that I want to be sure and point out. From what I understand, Marco Rubio voted for the Obama trade, but he admits he didn't read it. At least some of the people actually went and did the super secret thing and checked it out and looked at it. Of course, they couldn't check it out. They had to read it while they were there. They couldn't take it with them. They couldn't make copies. They couldn't do any of that stuff. But a few of them did actually go and read the stupid thing, at least part of it. Supposedly, Rubio voted for it, and he didn't even read it at all. That, I'm starting to wonder about Marco Rubio there on that one.
Well, I appreciate the honesty.
I'm surprised
he even said that he didn't read it. I mean,
don't you think that was a mistake on his part to not?
Absolutely a mistake, but him being honest about it.
Well, that's good, I guess.
I feel better about that. At least he's look. I voted for it, and he could have said, based on, Ted Cruz and other people I talked to, they
sure read it.
A good thing, whatever. I go, okay, well, I maybe don't have time to read everything, especially now you're running for president. But yeah, be honest about it. I'm good with that. But those that tell me, like Obamacare, no one read Obamacare. Not one person read 2,700 pages. Nobody. No one read it.
They didn't have the time. Some of them might have read it after it was passed, but that's kind of a moot point.
They didn't read it. You know good and well nobody read it.
Well, I know. I'm trying to give a benefit of the doubt. Trying to be nice.
There's no benefit of that doubt.
Yeah. Oh, Lord. Anyway, we got screwed again by our
representatives. I was going to say a minute ago, I so rudely interrupted you, but the – is that I saw something on Facebook. Of course, I have these things on Facebook, I take it with a grain of salt. But there was a post about the trade thing and how certain people were getting money for it. You know,
oh, yeah. I saw that.
And so I'm like, well, are they getting money or are there states getting money? You know, what I mean?
Probably.
Yeah, maybe so. And maybe that's the secret part of this deal, is that we can't let that cat out of the bag.
One thing that our good friend Kermit pointed out in one of the comments about about the Obama trade deal, he said, if you'll notice, the people who are for it are in states that have high exports. The people who are against it are in states who don't really have that much in the terms of exports. So, again, it's you scratch my back, I scratch yours. If it's good for my state and good for money and good for jobs, then I'm going to be for it. Whether or not it's good for the country as a whole is a whole other matter. Is it good for my state?
Right.
And he may be right on that one. I don't know.
Oh, well, that would seem more, when you talk about trade, you talk about economics, you're talking about I keep my job if my state gets better, and I that all makes sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah, makes more sense than whatever. Let's move on. We only got about 12 minutes left. Do you see this article about France summoning up the U.S. ambassador amid the NSA spying revelations that we've been spying on France? Shock, shock, shock. you know, I guess this is the taking our ambassador to the woodshed kind of thing, where they go, don't you do that no more. You know, and then they all go for, they all break for lunch and have a nice glass of wine and whatever the hell. Some wine and cheese, you know, as the old saying goes. My first thing is, like I've said this before, I hope to hell we're spying on France. I hope to hell we're spying on England. I hope to hell we're spying on Germany. I hope to hell we're spying on Russia. I hope to hell we're spying on China. I hope to hell, I mean, name them. I mean, and really even Israel for that matter. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, even though I love Israel and I think we should, you know, be their ally and friend, et cetera. But the reality is, in this world, you need to have your ears open. You need to know what the hell's going on. That's just the cold reality of the situation.
Yeah.
Agreed. Because look at from a different point of view. I think that most of our allies don't trust us, the United States, anymore because of Barack Obama. And most of our enemies don't fear us anymore. So since they don't trust us, you better believe they're spying on us. If you don't think France is spying on the United States, you're crazy. Now, I don't know how good they are at doing it, but they're trying, and I don't blame them. I don't trust us either.
We know the Chinese are doing a real good job.
Yeah, hell, the Chinese, well, that's a whole other story, but what a freaking disaster that is. You know what's so funny is this administration is so gutless, they won't even say that it was the Chinese that did it. Some other people have said the Chinese did it. The administration has not officially said it. However, this is the last few days, the administration actually said at one point, they actually said, well, they're at the top of our list of people who we suspect. They still won't say it was the Chinese.
That's
just gutless. I mean,
that's the way this administration is, Primo. Oh, gutless is the key word when it comes to national security.
Yeah. That's one thing I like about Donald Trump. I mean, Donald Trump, I'm sure, would just say, I mean, he's not real fond of the Chinese anyway, so I don't think he'd have a bit of problem if he were president naming the Chinese as the people who were behind, you know, the spying. So,
yeah, I like his candor.
Yeah, I like that part about him. Not sure what's going to happen on his presidential run, but we'll see. Okay, let's move on. There's an article from USA Today on RedStateTalkRadio.com about Obama issuing 19 secret directives. Did you see this article?
I did.
Well, what's so funny about this thing is they wouldn't have known that they did, but they number these directives that the president does.
There's so many numbers that are missing.
And they noticed that the last time they issued one till this time, there's some numbers missing.
Yeah.
And they started going back through and realized there were 19 of them missing. And we have no idea what the hell the presidential directives, those 19 presidential directives, were even about. Now, if you do a presidential executive order, it has to be recorded. It has to go to the Library of Congress, etc. But if you do a presidential directive, it's secret. It doesn't go anywhere.
Does a directive have to – can a, I don't know if you know the answer to this. Can a directive be about anything, or does it have to be just about national security or –
From what I understood and reading the article, it could be about anything. It could be about a directive about the economy, a directive about money policy, a directive about foreign policy, a directive about immigration, a directive about blah, 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 blah.
Well, that is scary.
Yeah. Especially with this guy in office. But here's the thing. I wouldn't want any president to have that ability. And maybe he has the executive authority to issue a directive. Okay, fine. Let's say that he does, and I'm sure he does, according to the Constitution. But the whole idea of it being secret is nonsense. It should be just like a presidential executive order. It should be recorded. It should be available to the public, and it should be in the Library of Congress. So the record is clear. Why the hell would you not do that? There's no other reason than you don't want the people to know. That's the only reason you wouldn't do that. And call me cynical, but when an executive does something and they don't want the American people to know about it, I got a funny feeling we might not be too happy with it.
I wouldn't have a problem with it, with national security, if it was something that was in our best interest, you know, not to be advertised. But when you say that it can be about anything, that is just, with this guy and his pen, there's no telling.
I didn't realize we had this. I just didn't know this is with the way things worked, that he or any president could do this. And here's the thing. I wouldn't want Bush to have this. Didn't want Clinton to have it. I don't even want Ronald Reagan to have it. Again, the only exception would be, like you said, national security. In other words, if there was something critical to the security and safety of the United States and its people, okay, fine. Maybe something like that has to be kept secret. Beyond that, anything else, I'm thinking, well, anything else beyond that, I don't know. Why the hell would we not want to know?
Well, yeah.
For example, immigration. I'd be willing to bet you that at least one of those 19 secret directives are about immigration. And basically it says everybody gets in free. Don't stop any. I mean, I think that's essentially what we're having happen already. But there's probably a directive that's been issued, and it's going to the Border Patrol and ICE and telling them, we got to send one or two back, but don't get too carried away.
Yeah. You can overlook this. You can overlook this.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you can't detain people here and this. If, you know, certain things. Yeah, you bend the law, if not break it.
And basically, these directives are like rules of how to do your job. I think to a large extent is what this is all about. And so it's just like a broad generalization, and then of course you leave it up to the individual managers of each department to determine how to carry out the directive, I guess.
Another question I have is, if this is a somewhat, if not totally secretive type thing, then it has to go out. I mean, honestly, I mean, you know, it has to go to somewhere where people hear about it, right? The ones that are doing it.
You'd think.
So does it have to do that and then get back to Congress, to representatives, to senators, that they have to find out from a third party that something's being done because they don't know about it?
From what I understand, the only way a congressman or senator would know what the hell's going on is someone was a leaked it. You know, someone who was a whistleblower said, do you know that we got a presidential directive to do X in our department? And I think that's the only way it would ever come about. I may be wrong, but from what I read in the article, that's kind of the... I mean, it didn't really specify that, but I'm just thinking that's the only way. How else would anyone know? If we don't know and our congressman's interests don't know, the only hope you have is that someone squeals.
Yeah. Somebody's got to tell somebody. I bet that's what's happening. Even our senators and our congressmen who are in these so-called committees that you're supposed to know the inner workings of our government, those committees don't know about what's happening.
I don't think these committees know about this kind of stuff. That's the way I took it. Now, I may be wrong, but all right.
That's, isn't that tyranny?
Yeah, pretty much. we've only got about 2.5 minutes left. Hillary.
What about Hillary?
Hillary's emails again.
Don't tell me she lied.
Well, this story for the Daily Caller, Hillary's claims that she gave State Department all her emails falls apart. Well, basically, they caught her in her lie.
Imagine that. Hillary lied. It's beyond belief, Primo. The criminal lied.
Well, what's so funny is the State Department issued a statement saying that basically, and here's the reason they made the statement. They said that they I can't remember exactly how they worded it, but basically they said that apparently they don't have all of Hillary's emails, kind of a thing. And the reason that they had to admit it was that the Benghazi subcommittee have, I think, 19 emails, whatever it is. They got an X number of emails that they have from when they interviewed this Sidney Blumenthal guy who was giving dope to Hillary Clinton. He produced emails that nobody had ever seen before. The State Department hadn't seen it. The Benghazi subcommittee hadn't seen it.
But she said, Primo,
gave it all up.
Everything even close to being about state business.
She just didn't include the stuff about the wedding and about Bill and her and blah, blah, blah.
Personal stuff was not included, but everything, Primo, everything.
And then I'll wipe my server clean just to be safe.
Yes, because she's an employee of the government, but the laws don't pertain to her.
No, they actually do not. Apparently, at this point, I think it's safe to say that we do have a political class elite, and she's part of it. And she can do whatever the hell she wants.
I saw where she was heckled in St. Louis.
Yes. About Benghazi, about getting the blood off, who washed the blood off your hands, et cetera, et cetera.
The emails and the servers, yeah.
But here's the thing. They were so far away from Hillary Clinton, she probably thought they were cheering her on. She was waving. and yeah, you suckers, vote for me. Because there were some people in the crowd who didn't like Hillary, and some people obviously did. So I'm sure she didn't realize that. Of course, now that the video is on YouTube, you would think maybe someone would clue her in, like, hey, Madam President-to-be, maybe she'd take a look at this. She doesn't care, though, really, honestly. Okay. I hate to say it, but we're out of time. That's it. Ken, you want to take us out?
If we lose freedom here, there is no place to escape to. This is the last stand on Earth. Ronald Wilson Reagan, our 40th president of these United States.
That's it. We're out of here. We'll see you next time.